Let's just pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage in Galatians. We just pray that you would illuminate it to us. Help us to understand and put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You might want to turn to Galatians on page 198 of the New Testament sections in your Bibles as we follow. So what's the difference between Christianity and every other religion on the planet? Maybe you think they're isn't much of a difference. Maybe you think they're the same. All roads lead to Rome. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. I was speaking to somebody the other day who likes to pick little bits that she likes from lots of different religions and leave out the bits she doesn't like. It's a DIY religion. So what's the core? What is the core of Christianity? Well, we'll see shortly. We're starting a series in Galatians, Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And we'll be studying that in home groups as well. Galatia's a region. It's in modern-day Turkey. Places mentioned in the New Testament like Pisidia and Antioch, where people were first called Christians. Iconium, Lystra and Derbe. It's all mentioned in Acts chapter 13 and 14. You might want to read that when you go home. Paul, as you know, set up new churches in different towns in the area of Galatia when people had come to know Jesus. When they become Christians. And they understood that Jesus died for them on the cross and that he'd risen for them. And Paul had told them this gospel, the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus. And they responded wholeheartedly and decided to follow Jesus. This letter, however, tells us a lot about the churches in Galatia. There's something different about this letter compared to the introductions in some of Paul's other letters. It's a bit longer. Usually Paul just starts by saying, Paul, a servant of Christ, or Paul to the churches of the Thessalonians, or just Paul, an apostle. But there's more here. Can you see it in verse 1? Paul, an apostle. Sent neither by human commission, nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You know, when I was training for the ministry, I would hear a number of people say, oh, well, that's just Paul. That's Paul, when referring to one of his letters. I prefer Jesus rather than Paul. That's Paul having a go at women again, or that's Paul's theology, it's not Jesus's theology. And he wasn't even an apostle. He wasn't even there when Jesus was around. And you know, that's exactly what's going on in Galatia. Which is why Paul clearly states right at the very start that he was commissioned by Jesus, by Jesus himself. Not by any human authorities. No one appointed him. There wasn't a group at church that said, oh, it'd be good, Paul, if you became an apostle. He met Jesus himself on the Damascus Road and was commissioned by Jesus himself. He was a true apostle. So was Paul just a little bit annoyed that he was challenged as an apostle? That his authority was questioned? Well, not really, because there's something really important at stake here. It was the gospel itself. Because if they rejected Paul and his gospel, they were rejecting the good news of Jesus. And you know, sometimes we think we know better than Paul or other witnesses to Jesus in the Bible, that somehow our opinions are more valid because they're in the 21st century than theirs. It's a grave danger. Paul seems to summarize very clearly the heart of the gospel in the first few verses. Can you see it there in verse 3? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father. Grace and peace. This is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus. We have peace with God, peace with others, and peace within because of Jesus' death on the cross. Whose idea was it? Where did it come from? It was from God. It wasn't man's, says Paul right at the start. I didn't dream it up. It was God's idea. All because of his grace. His grace is free, unmerited, undeserved favour from him. Not anything to do with us or who we are, because we don't deserve it. It was his loving kindness, God's loving kindness. So his grace and peace flow from the Father through the Son, Jesus. It's really important. What's more is some people don't like it. And Paul is utterly aghast there in verse 6. Straight away he goes in with his letter. I am astonished. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting. You're so quickly leaving the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Strong stuff, isn't it? Because a strong response is needed. There were people in the church, in positions of authority in the church, they were teachers, and they were teaching a different gospel. In fact, what they taught wasn't the gospel anymore. It wasn't good news. It wasn't grace and peace. It was bad news. It was a different gospel. Verse 6. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So what were they doing? What were they doing that so caused Paul to be astonished? What didn't they like in Paul's gospel, the gospel of Jesus? The gospel of peace and grace. They deserted. They become turncoats. They turned on peace and grace. They'd reversed the gospel. They twisted it round, back to front. And they were saying very cleverly, oh yes, yes, you need to believe in Jesus, of course, but you need to do something else. Jesus isn't enough. You need to do this and that and the other in order to be saved. You need to keep the rules. It's important keeping rules. You need to keep the rules Moses set down in the law, as well as believing in Jesus. So they twisted and reverted back to rule keeping. You see, the gospel of Jesus is not about rules. It's about undeserved merit and favor. Verse 3, from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. It's his work done on our behalf. And we can receive his righteousness as an exchange. So Jesus takes our sinfulness and alienation from God, because we can never be good enough, and gives us his righteousness so that we can be good enough. And so it's Jesus' work that counts, and our belief and trust in him. It's not what we do. It's a free gift from God to be received with humility and thankfulness. It's grace and peace. You see, Christianity is a rescue religion. It's the only true rescue religion. It's God taking the initiative and rescuing us from a situation that we can never rescue ourselves from. So just imagine. Imagine I'm shipwrecked. I'm all alone. I'm helpless in the sea. The waves are crashing in on me. I sink in the troughs. I've got no hope. I'm going under every time a wave hits me. It's serious. The rescue helicopter arrives, and there's Prince William, ready on the winch to come down and get me, to rescue me, to save me from this terrible situation. And I'm saying, "Don't worry, Wills, I'll be okay. I can help myself, I can do this." And Prince William's sitting up there thinking, "No, you're not. You need help. You're in the middle of a storm, you need help." But still I refuse, thinking I can save myself in the midst of the ocean. But the reality is, I can't. And that's exactly what the Galatians Christians have done. In fact, it's even worse than that. Because effectively, they've been rescued by Prince William and then decided that they would jump back into the ocean and try to do it all themselves anyway. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Utterly ridiculous. That's why Paul's so annoyed. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. I am astonished. It's astonishing. But that's what those Christians were doing. They were turning their back on the good news and trying to do it all themselves by works, by trying to be good enough for God. And that's often what we do. We fall and slip so easily back into it. Our own righteousness, our self-righteousness, rather than Jesus' righteousness, which is a gift to be received by the grace of God. Self-righteousness is destructive. Self-righteousness loves religion, loves rules, loves the tick boxes, loves the check sheets to check how good I'm getting. Self-righteousness causes us to look down on people in judgment and think that we are better than they are. Self-righteousness appeals to our egos. Self-righteousness thinks I'm okay and not as bad as those out on the street, or that person in prison, or that person who's a gossip, or that terrible person next door. I'm okay, says self-righteousness. But what is true is that no one will ever be good enough for God. That's why we need the rescue by Jesus. It's his work on the cross, which is the only way in which we'll be saved. It's the only effective rescue. And that work is finished by Jesus. "It is finished," cried Jesus on the cross as he died. Nothing can be added to that work. He paid the price my sins deserve. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be added to make God love me more or love me less. That's why Paul gets so aerated. No one can change the gospel. No man, no woman, no angel, not Paul himself in verse 7 to 9. It's from God. It's all grace. In Christianity Explored, we ask a question towards the end of the course, and the question's this. Suppose you were to die tonight, and you stand before God in heaven, and he said to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would be your reply? If I were to die tonight, and you stand before God in heaven, and he said to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would your reply be? It's trusting Jesus and his finished work on the cross. So it's not about how good I am, because I'll never be good enough. And lots of people know that. And this goes against human nature. It goes against our pride and our pride in what we achieve. And Paul repeats this in Ephesians 2. He says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So do you know the grace and peace from God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust in his finished work on the cross so that we can be with him forever? His good works, not mine. It's good news. It's brilliant news. It's liberating. It's freedom. Freedom from wondering whether I'm ever going to be good enough for God. Freedom in knowing that I am accepted and loved by him. I'm safe in his hands, whatever befalls me. And however many times I make a mistake, sounds like good news to me. So the difference between Christianity and every other religion, it's from God through Jesus, as a free gift, not earned, but accepted and received with thankfulness and humility. Grace. Amazing grace. So grace and peace to you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.